I want you to take your Bible, if you will, and I want you to turn to James chapter number 2. Now, if there is anybody all the way in the back, I've got about 7 or 8 chairs all the way up front. Anybody feel like you want to make a move up toward the front now, you can. So, that'd be great. Great. Super. Come right on up this way. And then ushers, those couple of chairs that the girls just left back there, we might fold them up. That'll give us a little more aisle. Maybe Brother Phillips, you could even help me. We'll just fold those up so we've got an aisle way there. James chapter 2. Okay, look back at me, if you will, for a second. I'm going to tell you, right before I read the scripture, I'm going to tell you a little experience that I had. It's my privilege from time to time. I'll travel to a church and I'll preach for them. And I had gone to a church, not one that you'd be familiar of, and I wouldn't even want you to try to figure it out. But I'd gone to a particular church, and their buses began to pull in to the parking lot. And one of the bus drivers had pulled up front to let his kids out at the front door of the church. And the man up front said, he called him off, and he said, no, you can't let the kids off up front here. It has to be done out back. And the other church buses went out back, and that guy pulled his bus around, and they unloaded out back. Although I was not inquiring, I was walking by when that happened. And the man that had called that bus off and said that you can't unload the buses out front, I walked by, and he said, it's our policy here that we don't want the bus kids coming in the front door. We sneak them in the back door. Now, I did not say anything about that. That wasn't my business. The pastor was taking me back to the airport just a couple of days later. And as often, a pastor will ask me, he'll say this to me. He'll say, Brother Owens, while you were here, did you see anything that might help our church? We want to grow. I want my church to be what it ought to be. I said, tell me a little bit about your bus ministry. I was setting him up. I said, tell me a little bit about your bus ministry. And he did. And I said, I was here on Sunday when they started to unload. And fortunately, he kind of told on himself. He said, yeah, I have them unload out back. Now, I was going to bring it up to him anyway, but I was trying to figure out how. But since he's the one that told me he let them unload in the back, it gave me a chance to say this to him. I said, preacher, is there a reason why? He said, well, I have some successful people in my church, and they feel a little ill toward that, and so I just take them out back. And I said, preacher, I hardly ever make comments and tell preachers what I think they ought to change. I don't do that when I come and visit, but you ask. I said, I would never stop your bus kids from unloading out front. I said, you have nothing to be ashamed of. He said, but those wealthy, those successful people... I said, sir, I'm probably a little different than you, but I wouldn't care for a moment what those people thought. And he said, preacher, why do you feel so strongly about that? I said, it's not that I feel this way. I said, I feel like that's how Jesus would feel about this. And he told me some weeks later, he said, Brother Owens, I want you to know, change the policy. I changed the policy, and we're unloading our bus kids out front now. If you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, if you're there, would you stand with me? We're going to read. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. In James chapter 2, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says this, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich man oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat. And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon today. You know my heart regarding it. I ask, Father, that all of us would be reminded of one of the root philosophies and truths of the Christian life. Help us today to realize that you care about the poor. And may we never, ever think that that's an unimportant care, but might we take on the very same cares, interests, and loves as you yourself feel important. Holy Spirit of God, use the sermon today to help us to be a better church and a better people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, you may be seated. Here in James chapter 2, God is giving his attention to our behavior toward poor people. God tells us how we ought to treat poor people. He tells us how we should not treat poor people. Notice he said in verse number 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." Here God tells us that we should not show favoritism. And you're not to respect people more or less on the basis of how much money they have. In verse 2, he says, "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come also in a man poor in vile raiment." Now notice, he's telling us how we ought to treat the poor. He said, don't you treat somebody bad because their clothes are not as nice as yours. Those words there, vile raiment, what's it talking about? Maybe shabby or dirty or smelly, maybe unwashed. God, you know, I'm glad that God takes an interest in something like that. God said, you know, somebody comes to your church and they have money or they don't have money. You're not to treat the one with money better than you would treat the one that doesn't have money. And then God said, if somebody comes into your church and maybe they don't have as nice a clothes, or maybe their clothes are dirty. Maybe they're dirty and filthy. Maybe they're unkept and maybe they're rags that they're wearing. God said, shame on you that you would dare treat somebody that had less in a worse way than you would treat somebody that had more. He said in verse number 3, "And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool." Now he's saying, not only are you not supposed to have them come in and judge them on the basis of how much money they have, and nor is it to be what quality their clothing is, whether it's clean and new and ritzy or poor and shabby. Now he said, you better be watching how you treat them about where they can sit. Can you imagine someone that would say to a poor person or somebody that had less than us, you can't sit in that seat because that seat right there, that's for somebody that has more. I don't think I quite understand that. God said, don't you push him out of sight. You're not supposed to do that. In verse 4, he said, "Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are becoming judges of evil thoughts?" Do you know that God is saying that if you and I spend our time and we're comparing people's clothing, and we're looking at those that have nicer clothes and those that don't, and those that have money and those that don't, and those that are bathed and those that are not. And God said, if you're spending your time looking at that and thinking about that and judging that way and saying to some, you come on up here where everybody can see you, and to others, I want to push you in the background where you can't be seen. God uses the term evil. God said, that's evil thinking. You say, preacher, why would God feel that way? Because I'm a gut news for everybody in here. If it were not for the mercy and the grace of Almighty God, you'd be the poor one. You'd be the dirty one. You'd be the one that didn't have the clothes. You'd be the one that didn't know to bathe. Who do we think that we are that we got the break that we happen to have a few things? He said in verse number 5, he said, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" I call my sermon, "God Cares About the Poor." I think churches need to refocus. We get so concerned about impressing the elite. Now, I'm good. If people come to our church and they have means and nice things, there's nothing wrong with having means. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. But there's something wrong if you have means and you have a snooty attitude and you're not interested in the poor and the people that don't have as nice of clothes. And if you think you're better just because your parents taught you to bathe, you know, I feel for someone that maybe have not been taught those things. But God used the term evil. God even gives them a compliment. God said here, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" God said they're rich in faith. In James 2:6, he said, "But ye have despised the poor." What does that mean? When you despise the poor, it means you almost cast shame on them. you insult them. You know, the topic of the poor has through the ages been very important to God. It has always been God's wishes that the New Testament Christian treat poor people the right way. God has always wanted Christians to be good and be interested in the poor people of this world. Folks, it's not evil to be poor. It's not sinful to be poor. But I'll tell you this, it is evil and sinful to abuse, mistreat, or look down on poor people. There's, I know there are people like this. Now, I don't think I know any personally, but there are people that will drive through a poor neighborhood and almost have a bad attitude toward the people. I need you to understand something. God loves the poor. God has an interest in the poor. It's not a sin to be poor. I have no, nor will I ever make an apology about the fact that we run bus routes in our church. We go out and we pick up people that maybe would not be picked up otherwise. Now, not everybody that rides our bus would necessarily consider themselves poor. But I will guarantee you, there's some little boys and girls that we pick up out there that they are poor. I don't know what Sunday morning means to everybody, but there's just something about Sunday morning and Sunday school that really touches my heart, and I'll tell you what it is. I love watching everybody come in and the songs and the Bible teaching and all of it. I'll watch boys and girls come into our church, and they'll go to their Sunday school class, and their Sunday school teacher has some breakfast for them. Now, some kids get to eat breakfast, and it's fixed for them all the time. There are others that come in, and I watch them eat, and you can tell. That food really is important to them. I'm glad we're building a new auditorium, but I just want to tell y'all, that new auditorium is not so that we can show off our church to the elite of our city or of our county. And so you all know, you're stuck with the pastor, that the poor people are as invited to that new auditorium as are the rich people in our community. And you say, well, preacher, I wonder if you got to make a choice. Then we'll have to say goodbye to the rich people. Now, I don't think you have to make a choice, but I'm just going to tell you, Jesus loved the poor. And the poor people were an issue. And Jesus takes time in the Scripture over and over again, and he talks about our treatment of the poor people. And I thank God for our church, and oh, what a beautiful facility we have, and how gorgeous and how nice our things are. And listen, sometimes when people come to our church and they're not trained, and the kids and maybe some of the teenagers, they don't know any better, and they mess things up, and they certainly can do their damage. I want you to know, they'll never learn if we don't train them. And every once in a while, sure, somebody's going to, and young people, let me tell you something. You don't write on the bathroom walls here, and you don't take your knife out and cut up the pew. You don't do that. But I will say to everybody else, I'd rather have somebody right on the wall of my bathroom and let's have a chance to get them saved and train them and teach them than to have never dealt with that. There are churches that would not deal with that. They don't want that. And listen, if it were not for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, it would be me, it would be you, and we're no better. We ought to just thank God that God loved the poor. So may I say, the poor people are more than welcome at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina. Matter of fact, they're wanted. They're as important as everybody else is here. You say, but Pastor, I've got money and I've got clout. I have to tell you, that really does not impress me. People is what this is all about. And how much money somebody has really has nothing to do with people. I want you to know that I believe that God is interested in the poor. Listen to this. God said, I want you to remember the poor. Remember them. Galatians 2:10 says, only they should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Paul here recommends that we remember the poor. You know, folks, when you have enough, matter of fact, most of us don't have just enough. We have more than enough. Matter of fact, we have more than what we need, far beyond what we need. It's easy then to forget the poor. God said, I want you on purpose to remember the poor. I want you to think about them. A sermon like this can be very good for you. When you get up in the morning and you have to pick which of many pair of shoes that you own, which pair will you wear? There are others that had no choice. They had one pair, and that one pair had holes in the soles, and they had one pair of shoes. That's all they had, and they were not nice shoes, and they were old shoes. And I seen a child this morning that didn't have shoestrings in their shoes, and you say, that's because they were lazy and didn't put them in. I say not. I say because they didn't have shoestrings. And it doesn't hurt us every once in a while to stop and remember the poor. On purpose, think about the poor. Think about the poor as you eat. And you throw away more than some children will eat today. Maybe we ought to all go to our closet today and look at all the clothes. And then go to all the storage compartments and the tubs and the bags where you've got your clothes crammed underneath your bed because you have so many. And then may I say, and I hope this attitude is not present under the sound of my voice, but you've seen a child get off a bus and they were shabby and dirty and unkept, and you're almost critical in your heart about that. But you have so much. Might I say to you, it doesn't hurt you and I to remember the poor. As you sleep in your air-conditioned house and your heated house in the winter, I want you to think and remember the poor. As you go to the grocery store and you buy what you want, I want you to think and remember the poor. As you eat out in a nice restaurant, many weeks ago we had a spring or a fall program. We called it, we were having double vision. And the idea was given that we would give the kids a double cheeseburger on the bus. I would guarantee you there were kids that came thrilled that day because they were going to get a McDonald's double cheeseburger. And you say, oh, what's a big deal? I have food like that all the time. I just want you to picture a little boy that's 4 years old waking up on a Sunday morning thinking, I can't wait to get to church. I'm going to get a McDonald's sandwich today. I'm going to get a double cheeseburger today. I wish you could have watched the kids as they were receiving the, and they were so thrilled and so excited. You say, what are you doing? I'm trying to remind you, folks, you have and I have and we have, and we have so much. And God said, don't you forget the poor. Don't you forget about the poor as you eat in the nice restaurant and wear your nice clothes and drive your first car or your second car or your third car. Don't you forget about it when you say, I got to pay so much for the taxes on my house. It's outrageous. It's a pretty big house to be taxed at that rate, isn't it? And I want you to think about it when you think about the fact that, you know, you get to treat for the bugs that live in your home. And, you know, in a wet area like ours, you got to keep an eye on that sort of a thing. And you treat to keep the bugs out. I want you to picture the people that don't get to treat because there's no money to treat for the bugs, and they sleep in their beds, and they don't have enough food, and they don't have enough clothes, and they don't have the health care that they need. Let's remember the poor. Let's not forget about the poor. And Jesus said, Galatians 2:10, he said, remember the poor. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the great example of one who remembered the poor. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, this is a Old Testament quote from, I think, Isaiah chapter 60 or 61, but it says in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I am so glad Jesus here is speaking. And notice, he said, the Spirit of God has come upon me. Why? Said, because I have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. There are churches all over this country today, and the Spirit of God will not show up at their church. And I'll tell you why. They're too snooty. They're too good. They're too highfalutin. The poor are not welcome there. And I believe this. I believe God will give an extra dose of the Spirit of God to a church that cares about the poor. I believe God looks down and says, I am going to help those poor people. And that preacher and those people, they're going to need an extra dose of heavenly power to get the job done, to help those poor people. Because God looks down and says, I love those poor people. I want to help those poor people. I want to save those poor people. I want to clothe those poor people. And I will send my Spirit and I will help that church right there in a unique and special way. You ever been to the snooty church where everybody's too good for everybody else, and we might impress each other with what kind of car we drove in or what kind of clothes we have, but when it comes to the preaching and God moving in the service, you wonder, is there any conviction? You wonder, is God present? You wonder, is this a game? Is this a social game that we're playing? I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to give up the reaching of the poor for the purpose of having the power of God on my church. Jesus loved the poor. Jesus did not ignore the poor. Jesus did not look down on the poor. God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit in a special way because that Holy Spirit was used as an extra incentive and power to reach the poor people. We're to remember the poor. Jesus was a great example of it. God tells us how we're supposed to treat the poor. There's instruction in the Bible on how to treat the poor. We're told in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 3, that we are to love the poor. It says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Folks, the word charity there means love. We're to love them. Hey, listen, we're not to just give to them. We're to love them. No, you could give somebody something and not love them. God wants you to give. Oh, indeed He does. But God wants you to love the poor. Recently, is there any poor person that would have any idea that you care about them or that you love them? Bus workers, let me tell you something. You have a tremendous opportunity. Sunday school teachers, what a tremendous opportunity. Soul winners, what a tremendous opportunity. What is that opportunity? You're out and about where you're going to run across those that have less than we do, and you have the opportunity and the privilege of loving the people that God loves. The Bible teaches we're to love them. The Bible teaches we're to feed the poor. Proverbs 22, verse number 9, it says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Hey, when was the last time you fed a poor person? And again, I go back to, I'm just so delighted. I'll watch those Sunday school teachers. And so you know, our Sunday school teachers take money out of their pocket, and they'll buy treats, and they'll buy snacks, and they'll buy breakfast foods. And when the kids come in, they feed them. And Sunday school teachers, let me tell you something. What a great investment. What a great investment. And I'm honored. And I'm glad all the kids, I mean our kids, the kids that come in our cars, that come to Sunday night and Wednesday night church, they get in on this. But I tell you, there's just something unique and special when you watch a little child get some breakfast. And you can just tell by the way they eat it. I'll look at Susan Smith's class. I'll look in and all the little girls will be down on their knees and they'll use their table, their chair as a table. And it is just so sweet watching them eat the food. They almost run to get to class. And to me, that is delightful. We're to feed the poor. We have a little account here at the church we call the Poor Fund. And when we go to helping people that need food and other things, but we'll get them food through that Poor Fund. But you know, that's what churches are supposed to do. That's what Christians are supposed to do. We're to feed the poor. We're to sacrifice for the sake of the poor. Matthew 19:21 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Here, the Lord said, every once in a while, it's a good idea for us to give up something and sacrifice to help somebody that does not have something. That would be good for our children to learn. That would be good for our teenagers to learn. One reason why, parents, it's a real big deal to me, I like having our teenagers involved on the bus route. And that's very good for your child. It'll help them to appreciate when they get home to the air conditioning and all the food that they need. and all the clothes that they need and a nice house, when they go out and visit and knock on a door of a child where the door almost falls off the hinge, and when they see that there's not necessarily in all cases a mom and dad watching out for what's going on. Hey, we're apt to send a teenager home maybe with a little more appreciation in their heart for what mom and dad are providing, but at the same time, it gives a teenager a chance to love and to sacrifice some of their time for the poor. Young people, don't quit your bus route. Stay at it. Stay at it. It's a scriptural thing. Hey, when was the last time you gave up something of value to help somebody that's poor? And again, I thank the bus workers for sacrificing their time and the Sunday school teachers and the soul winners that give of their time. They go out and they meet the poor. And they help them. And they love on them. And they try to be good to them. Why? That's what the Bible teaches. It says, sell what thou hast and give to the poor. There's sacrifice involved. You know something? And I'll say this, and I may get criticized for it. I don't think so. But you know, we probably could have started on our new auditorium months ago. But we didn't start on the new auditorium because we needed to start a new bus route. You say, well, preacher, hey, you spend money on a bus and on the insurance on that bus and for gas for that bus, and we go pick up those kids, and we could have used that money to get our bigger auditorium. Right. So you have the padded pews, so you have the air conditioning, so it's convenient for you, so it's comfortable for you, so so we can all have our nice, big, new auditorium. I've got news for you. I thought there were some little boys and girls that needed us to reach out and help them, even if it were a little bit, at a few months of inconvenience for the Old Testament or the New Testament Baptist Church, I thought it was a good idea to delay the new auditorium and put a new bus route on the road. You say, why? I want God's power on our church. You say, well, I don't think all the churches around here believe that way. I don't care how all the other churches believe. I happen to believe we're to reach the poor. I think we're to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in so that my Father's house might be full. And God wasn't talking about just the people that were rich and just the people that owned the business and just the people that had big diamond rings on their hands and that could take 4 and 5 weeks of vacation. That's not that God wasn't talking about just go reach those people. He wants us to reach everybody. We're to win the poor to Christ, the Bible says. Matthew 11:5 says, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Soul winners, you sometimes will find yourself going to a nasty old house. You know, let me tell you something. Don't ever bypass knocking on that door. You knock on that door and you tell that person about Jesus Christ. There's something that I've learned through the years. You're going to find some of the most productive soul winning on the face of the earth is soul winning with poor people. You say, why? I'll tell you why. They're humble. You go to a rich man that lives in a $500,000 home just up the road here, and they're all over the place. I mean, you all know some of the subdivisions around here. I mean, mega bucks, lots of money. You go out there and you tell a man living in a $500,000 home that he's a sinner, he may have a hard time swallowing that because he's accomplished. He is somebody. But you go to a poor house and you knock on the door and you say, you're a sinner. And they'll say, yeah, yeah, I am. I'm a sinner. Well, thank God. We have a gospel that we can share with the poor. And so many times, I watch churches miss the importance of such. We are to feed the poor, and we're to sacrifice for the poor, and we're to love the poor. We should be winning the poor to Jesus Christ. We're to plead the case of the poor. That is my honor today. It is my privilege to do exactly what this says. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:9, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. I'm here to say to you today that the poor are welcome at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. And the poor teenagers are welcome to be a part of our youth department. And hey, the poor children are welcome to come and be a part of our choirs and be a part of our Sunday school. They're welcome. Those, even the adults that don't have as much, they're welcome here. There's no class system around here. There's not upper class and lower class. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And if you're not saved yet, we'll help you with that. But the truth of the matter is, God never intended for you to look at somebody and because you had more than them that you would think you were better than them. We're to plead the case of the poor. We're to defend them. They have not been taught in many cases and not had some of the opportunities in life that we have had. And we're to help others to treat them right. And whether we like it or not, the Bible even talks about giving to the poor. Proverbs 15:26, it says, "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor." There are times when we ought to give to the poor. Now, I would do this. I'm very cautious. If I meet a poor man on the street and he asks for money, I'll ask him why. He almost always says food. I'm very careful to hand him a bunch of money. Say why. Sometimes poor people have very bad habits. I don't want to fund their habit. But I will say to the man, I'll go buy you some groceries. And I will. I'll go get him some groceries. I'll go get him a meal. I'll bring it back to him. And I'm just here to tell you, the Bible talks about contribution for the poor. That when we have our Faith Promise Missions Conference here in January, what are we doing? We're raising money to help reach the poor around the world. We run those buses, and you'll see on the tithing envelope, there's a place for money to be given to the bus ministry. There on the tithing envelope is a place for people to give to the poor fund. You say, why? I strongly believe that God will place His hand of blessing on a church that will not forsake the poor. I believe that God will bless a church with His power. God will bless a church with His love that cares for the poor. The economy, from all indications, at least on the surface, and I say that cautiously, but at least on the surface, the economy is much healthier today than what it was 5 or 6 years ago. I traveled the country, and when we got hit so heavily at the beginning of our president's administration, y'all remember we thought the economy was going to collapse completely and fall out from underneath us. I traveled the country, and pastors would say to me, "Brother Owens, I'm scared for my church, and the people being unemployed, and they're losing their homes, and our offerings are going down and going down and going down, and Brother Owens, I just help me, tell me what to do. I'm very worried about being able to keep my church up, and I'm worried about being able to pay the bills at the church. Do you have any advice?" And this is what I always told them. I said, "Keep your soul winning up. That always helps." And then I said, number two, don't shut down your buses. Don't stop reaching the poor. And then I said, I believe that if a church will keep reaching the poor, God will fund that church. Because God loves the poor so much that God will look down, and I wouldn't care if you had some highfalutin church that was full of millionaires. God could make the economy in a poorer church that would take care of the poor. He would make the economy of that church that loved the poor stronger than the economy of the church with all the big money in it. Why? God loves the poor. God loves the poor. And so we are to give. We're to give financially to help the poor. But not only did God tell us how to treat the poor, God also instructed us how not to treat the poor. He says in Proverbs 17:5, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker." You children, teenagers, and in some cases even adults, you look at your pastor today. Let me give you some good advice. You don't degrade, you don't mock, you don't tease poor people. I can remember I was in junior high school, and we had a bully in junior high school. And I remember we had a boy that he came from way out in the country, and I'm telling you, this boy that came to our school was poor. He only, from all indications, he maybe had two shirts and one pair of pants. He'd come to school, his hair was never cut, never combed. He wasn't bathed, and he was poor. And I watched the school bully tease this kid. He'd tease this kid when he'd come into school. He'd tease this kid at lunch. And something in my heart, I just couldn't hardly take it anymore. I'd watch it happen. And I remember one day, it was recess. That was my favorite class. It was recess, and I went to the bully. And I told him this. I said, "You look here. You leave that kid alone." And the bully said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" I said, I don't know. And I said, you may beat me up, but I'm just telling you, you leave him alone. I said, you are a little person to pick on somebody like that. He said, Owens, you'll be next. I said, I'd rather you pick on me than you pick on him. You leave him alone. And folks, never should you mock. Never should you belittle. Never should you mistreat someone because they have less than you. Because they don't have the kind of clothes you have. Because they don't have the kind of money that you have. And they don't have the kind of house that you have. And they don't have the personal hygiene that you have. The Bible makes it very clear. Psalm 35:10, it says, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. Here God is saying, we ought to help the poor so that they're not bullied by people. And you should never take advantage of the poor. It uses the words for him that is too strong for him. It's talking about there are some people that will use their strength to push down, to badger, to hurt, to belittle the poor. And God said, stand up for that person. Never take advantage of the poor. The Bible teaches we should never reject them in our time of conversation. Reject their cry for help. Proverbs 21:13 says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Hey, are you too good to talk to the poor? Is there anybody that could walk into our church and you just by looking at them, you say, oh, that's not somebody I want to be associated with. Shame on you. You should never feel that way. Somebody walks in this church, if they have lived in the filthiest box under the filthiest bridge or in the filthiest way all week long, if they walk in the back door of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, you extend your hand, you let them know they are welcome here, you don't shy away from them. Why? That's a poor person, and who knows that it's not an angel that God has not sent to see how we would treat angels unawares. Who knows that God would not like to see if a church still has a heart for the poor? Who knows if a church doesn't want to just be religious and have clout and show off in town, but maybe God's looking for a church that loves little boys and little girls that don't have much. And maybe God's looking for a church that would love a street person that didn't get to take a bath, that didn't have much food. I've got news for you. God loves that man that smells bad, and God loves that child that doesn't have much clothing. God loves them. And I want God to know there's a church in New Bern, North Carolina that loves those children too. God said, if you're too good to talk to the poor, it may be that you won't listen to them. There'll come a time when you'll cry out to God and he won't listen to you. Listen to the verse. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. I'll tell you why some of you don't get your prayers answered. You're so self-centered. You're so stingy. You're so caught up in your monetary. All your stuff. You got so much stuff. My things, my clothes, my furniture, my cars. All my stuff. It's mine. It's important to me. And you can't pray your way out of a wet paper bag. And I'll tell you why God does not hear you. You're stingy, self-centered, spoiled Christian. To some of you, You are so cursed with your own sin of covetousness. Your house is so full of all your things. But to walk across the street and feed a poor child, you wouldn't give any thought to that. We should not leave the poor out of our fellowship. The Bible says in Luke 14:13, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. You know, there's something we do. When we have homecoming, we arrange it so that our bus kids get to be a part. You say, why? This is as much their church as it is ours. And I want them to feel that way. I want them to feel that way. The kids that come in on the buses, I want them to know their preacher loves them. These programs around here, they're for them too. And the food's for them too. I want them to be a part. You know, God said he'd reward us. He'll reward us if we'll treat the poor right. He says in Proverbs 14:21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Can I tell you why some of you are depressed? You don't care about poor people. All you care about is you. All you think about is you.
You and your stuff. So you're depressed. You know, some poor people would love to have 1/10 of what some people in this room have. But you're depressed. How can you be depressed with everything you have? But the Bible says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. You get to helping poor people, thinking about poor people, you might start appreciating what you have. If you listen to the poor when they cry out, God will listen to you when you cry out. The Bible says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall he himself, shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. The Bible teaches that you can get treasures in heaven by helping the poor. Mark 10:21 says, it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. By giving to the poor. Hey, if I were a member of a church, and they were uninterested in the poor, I'd be wanting to find some place to invest my tithe and my offering where I would get treasure in heaven, because poor and lost are being reached. The Bible says when we give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord. Proverbs 19:17 says, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. I'd recommend to every businessman under the sound of my voice, you ought to put into your portfolio taking care of the poor. Pretty good investment. Better than Fortune 500. Better than the stock market, I'll guarantee it. Because in heaven, moth and dust doth not corrupt. When you give to the poor, there are special blessings. Proverbs 22:9, it says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. God's saying, I'll bless you if you take care of the poor. You know, God even tells us that we ought to follow the example of the poor. And I'm almost finished, but you stay with me. I read earlier from James 2:5, it says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? You ever got around a poor person? And they have a refreshing simplicity about God and what they have. Just very refreshing. They just almost have a faith that you say, ah, that's just way too simple of a faith. No, yours is way too complicated. See, theirs is just so, it's such easy faith. Yours is so hard, you almost can't activate your faith. God said, the poor are rich in faith. But not only that, I wish I had 45 minutes for this last statement or two or three that I've got to make. Do you understand the greatest example of giving in the entire Bible is the example of a poor person giving? Mark 12:42-43, it says, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which makes a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury. The most famous historical Bible figure in the realm of giving, the example was set by a poor widow. You say, what are you trying to say? There's something to be learned from the poor. She gave sacrificially. The pastor said, Brother Owens, while you've been here the last few days, did you see anything that you would change? Fortunately, he led the conversation down the path I needed him to go. And when he told me, there's some rich people in my church that prefer that the bus kids not be seen, so we scoot them around back, I said, Pastor, please, let the bus kids come in out front. He said, that's a pretty big deal to you, isn't it? I said, yes, sir. It is. Because God will bless a church that will love the poor. If you're here today and you're unsaved, I wish you'd come to know the Savior. In a moment, we'll give an invitation about salvation. To all the people under the sound of my voice that are saved, I come to you today on behalf of the poor people in this world. Let's love them. Let's win them to Jesus. Let's feed them. Let's build a church where they know they will be welcome. Oh, we're not saying that the business people, the successful people, we're not running them away.
Oh, that would be wrong too. But I am saying we need to receive the poor and willingly in our church. Oh, not as a favor to them, realizing their soul cost Jesus just as much as yours did. No social standing in the eyes of the souls of men. Jesus doesn't say there's a rich, middle, and a lower class. They're all souls for which Jesus died. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this: if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know if I died today I'd go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know I'm born again. Would you raise your hand? Good. I see a hand. Somebody else just say, I don't know that I'm saved. I need to be born again. If you need to be saved, then in a moment we're going to have this altar call and you may come. Who here today would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart about this issue of the poor. And those that are more needy in life, God has spoken to me about it today. He's spoken to my heart. And I know there's some things I ought to do in regard to helping the poor. Would you raise your hand and say, God spoke to me about it today? There's some people in here you ought to say, I'd like to get in that bus ministry. I'd like to figure out a way to help with this thing. Amen. You may put those hands down. I think there are people that will need the altar. And I want you to feel like you can come to this altar. Maybe you just need to come down here and pray that God would use us in regard to this thing of reaching the poor. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are saved and you need to maybe spend a moment with the Lord here and say, Father, I got to get my eyes off of all my things and all my stuff. And I need to start realizing there are poor people out there. There are people that I ought to care about. There are people that I ought to help. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're saved and you need a moment at the altar with the Lord, you come. Some of you need to glance over all your stuff. Realize that there are people out there that would be thrilled to have the things that you throw away. You come, the altar's open. Come, you come. Some of you that are stingy. Hey, you ever ask yourself, why can't I get any of my prayers answered? When was the last time you did anything for somebody that's poor? God said, when you don't listen to the cry of the poor, God said, you'll cry out and you won't be heard.